Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. I'm sure as you were listening to the gospel this morning, you thought to yourself, I have been waiting all year for this gospel lesson. This is my favorite gospel lesson, where Jesus says, I have not come to bring peace, but I have come to set father against son, and daughter against mother, and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and pretty much make everything like as in real life. But this gospel is really about discipleship. If you get past and kind of read what comes before and what comes after, and if you really read through the text, Jesus is drilling down for these newly minted disciples what it will look like to follow Jesus. And much to their surprise, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be simple. And at times, it's not going to be very pleasant. This is another one of those texts that, as we're inviting people into Christianity, we wait a few years to let them read this one. Because it's not only terrible marketing, but even for those of us who have been disciples for a long time, followers of Jesus for a long time, to read these texts can be very upsetting. So often what we come to our faith for is encouragement, healing, as a kind of sanctuary from all of the craziness of the world. And then you come into the sanctuary where you're supposed to be sort of lifted up and get energized for the rest of the week so that you can watch CNN and not despair. And then you hear these words that sound, frankly, to me, a lot like watching the morning news. Well, it's important to remember that when Jesus gathers the disciples together, and when God gathers the people of Israel, as in that first lesson, neither Jesus nor God say, I will take all pain away from you. I will take you elsewhere, away from all of that. What God promises again and again and again is to be with us through all we are going through. For those of you who are old enough to remember, and you have to be really old to remember this, but for you younger folks, there was a commercial for a bath soap. And it would be this frayed and frazzled person would be all kind of crazy, and they'd pour Calgon into the tub, and it would bubble up, and the thing would be, take me away, Calgon. As if on gossamer wings, a little bit of soap and hot water would take away all of your problems. Sometimes that's what we want from our faith, for it to take us away from everything that hurts, that causes anxiety, that keeps us from the world's definition of happiness. Well, in this text, if you sort of drill down, and we worked on our text study last Tuesday, I was sort of showing up at the very beginning of the text. Jesus says, this is what following me looks like. A slave is not above the master. The student is not above the master. There's an order to things, Jesus says. And so he says, you know what? Don't worry. Do not fear. There's that text again. Don't fear any of them, because they don't really have control over you anyway. Nothing in secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. Tell in the light. Proclaim from the rooftops. Do all of this stuff. And as a result, they will not make you a star, if that's what you're expecting. If you're expecting to proclaim the gospel and have everybody say to you, wow, that was awesome. You changed my life. I'm going to follow you everywhere. And by the way, I'm going to shovel money into your account while I do it. It turns out you will be disappointed. It isn't how the gospel's made. Jesus says to the disciples and to all of us, go out and proclaim the good news and do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. So don't be afraid, Jesus tells the disciples. Now in my mind's eye, as they're there and they're already starting to feel some pressure from people as they're telling people that Jesus is the Messiah and there's a whole bunch of other folks who are saying, no, he's not. I'm thinking as they're sitting there and Jesus is saying to them, don't worry about all those people, don't be afraid. In my mind, I'm seeing the disciples saying, is he crazy? Does he know what's going to happen? And Jesus says again to them and to us, do not be afraid. And then that next part of it about how you be a disciple is about witnessing. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And then the problematic text. Do not think that I have come to bring peace. I have come to bring a sword. Now, how you exegete that, how you unpack that in modern theology varies a lot from tradition to tradition. But most scholars agree this is one of those evocative phrases of Jesus. Not that he's trying to evoke us, he's trying to tell them, look, this is what is already happening. In some families, people who believe in me are fighting with one another. Mother against father, father against son, daughter against mother. Because I am saying, I believe in Jesus, and they're saying, why? He's not the Messiah. How could you believe that? We see the same thing these days. Maybe less so in the religious world, although there's plenty of that. But how many families do you know that have been torn apart by opposing political views? How many families do you know where one person has come out, one of the children has come out as queer, and the rest of the family abandoned them? Family fights in your personal family are not that unusual. I'll tell you what, after 30-some-odd years in the church, I can tell you, it turns out, fights in churches are not that uncommon either. As a matter of fact, I would say churches are remarkably good about fighting over terribly unimportant things. I am so thankful that we do not have carpet. For lots of reasons. But not once in the 16 and a half years that I've been here have we had to fight about the color of the carpet. And I have seen churches torn apart about that. But how many times have I seen churches torn apart arguing about their missional work? Almost never. Every once in a while, yes. But we don't fight about the important things. We fight about really crazy things. What color to paint the walls? What color is the carpet going to be? Should we or should we not support one particular item in the ELCA's constitution? Should non-members be allowed to vote? As a member of the Constitution Committee, I can tell you no. Because that's what the Constitution says. But what does my heart say? One of the good things about knowing the rules is you know how to break them. Which is why I'm on the Constitution Committee. So Jesus in this text is sort of sharing with his disciples not what he expects things to be, but how things are. And again and again and again he tells them and us, it's all worth it. Following me, Jesus says, leads to life. Not only for you, but for the whole world. Because love matters. And it's a core principle of who we are. Because justice matters. And that's what we've been called to do on the earth. Because faith matters. Because almost all of us at some point in our life come to the realization that we cannot do this on our own. That there is something greater than ourselves. And so Jesus calls us together to proclaim from the rooftops, he says, what you hear in secret in this room. To proclaim it in your whole life. To not be afraid to share the God that has been given to you in Jesus Christ. And that will lead at times to your friends thinking, what is the matter with you? It might be that your family says, why do you do that? Why are you at church all the time, Dan Dennison? And God will say again and again, don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid to give yourself away in discipleship. Don't be afraid to give yourself to your neighbor and to the world and to share yourself and pour yourself out even to the point of death. Because without it, the world dies. It's that important. And so as we go forward in our mission together, as we share what God is doing in this place with music and art and theology and all the crazy, crazy things that we do, I think God is telling us again and again, don't be afraid to take a risk. Don't be afraid to make people angry sometimes. But always remember that you love them. Don't be afraid to go out and do the ministry to which I've called you. Don't stay safe and insulated and afraid. Open the door. See what God's up to. And you're going to mess it up, and you're going to do it in a broken kind of way. And sometimes people will say, you call that Christianity? And you can say, well, I don't know what I call it. And we will come back, and we will regroup, and we will try again. That's what it means to be the disciples of God. To come together and shout from the rooftops what we hear in secret, to not be afraid to be the disciples of Christ in a broken world. Broken disciples sent to a broken world to bring life and life abundant. I'll finish with this. Some beautiful art being made down here. Someone has scissors out, which is very exciting. And they're going to put that art over there. And they are, in this moment, taking a risk. Because you might not like what they do. You might not think it's worth anything. But isn't it beautiful to see us take on the life and the ministry that God has given us and shout it from the rooftop. Amen. And you are invited to rise, because you probably, after that sermon, really need to. So please rise for the hymn of the day. It's number 659 in the ELW.